Hello, everybody. Welcome to Man Strong Podcast. We're going to do a couple this week to try to make up for one that I didn't do last week. Just a time crunch thing. Like I said, moving. I tell you what, take some advice, as Jeff always laughs when I say this, Uncle Clint. If you're ever in the trapping supply industry or the hunting industry, or I guess it would be the fishing industry in the spring, or wherever the busiest time of the year that you have in your life, do not move during that time, especially if it's the busiest part of your business. It causes havoc, but it'll be over with sooner than later, or later than sooner. I'm not sure which one, but it's causing havoc on the podcast a little bit, and for that, guys, I do apologize. I want to thank our sponsor, which is Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Alan Sayers is the owner of that company. He's a good friend of mine. If you knew all the things he went out of his way to help guys in the outdoor industry with, you would be blown away. He's somebody you can trust. He's somebody that you can depend on, and he's somebody that's going to get your product to you when you want it. So check him out at Funky Trap Tags and Supplies. Now, I want to talk a little bit about something. I do not have notes on this. I've tried notes, and it's getting all backwards. So I will say ahead of time, this may be a little discombobulated about what I'm trying to say. But it's one of those things that I think we should consciously, as men, think about. And that's, we need to be the rock. We need to be the rock in the family. Now, I'm not saying that a woman cannot be the rock, because I personally believe there's a lot of things that women can do better than men, and there's a lot of things that they don't do as good as men, and there's a lot of things that men don't do as good as women, and there's some things that men do better than women. But by the rock, I mean, you know, when you think about a rock, it's something that is solid. It's not flopping around. It's not blowing around in the wind. It's solid. And even if it falls off the side of a mountain, when it finds its perch somewhere else, it is solid. And I think that is what men need to consciously think about when life is just seems like it's going haywire, which is going to go haywire for everybody off and on your entire life. That is what it is. If you ever listen to Jordan Peterson, he talks about what is life. He says life is misery with a little bit of happiness mixed in. It doesn't necessarily have to be that much misery, but for a lot of people it does seem that way. But what you want to have is a foundation for your wife that she knows she can depend on you. Not that you're more important than she is. Not that she's more important than you are. It's a team. And when things happen, you need to figure out how to be the most stable, rock-solid entity in her life at that time. And this also goes for your kids. And one of the reasons, dads, this is important for you, is because where do you think your boys are going to learn to be the rock for their women? Where? Do you think it's going to be at school? No. Especially if your son is a white kid. Your son is being taught that they should be the dog doo-doo that people smear on the bottom of their shoes because of something they didn't commit 300 years ago in this country. They are taught that because of the hierarchy and the patriarchy and these archies and that archy and this, that, and the other, that they should be punished for something that they have nothing to do with. And they should just take whatever a minority, whatever that happens to be at the time, or the feminist, or teaching women that they should run over, abuse, and everything when it comes to men because it's, quote, their turn. I mean, how childish is that? He's not going to learn what it means to be a rock or how to be treated from school. I seriously doubt most churches are going to delve into a subject like this because they're going to be so afraid of some oversensitive woman in the crowd that's going to get upset over something like this. So I doubt it's even going to happen in churches. So it's going to have to happen at home. And this is one of those things that the only way it's going to happen for your son is you can talk to him about it, they need to see it. They need to be able to understand it from your actions, guys. Not from a lecture. And then you turn around and you act like a pompous little bitch 15 minutes later and throw a temper tantrum. That is not going to get this done. You need to teach them to be a rock. Now, there's things physically and emotionally that you need to think about, I believe. One of them is, one of the two things that a guy's main job is, whether you like it or you think it's fair or whatever it is, it's pretty much irrelevant. If you want to get away from this, I promise you, you're going to have a dysfunctional life and a dysfunctional family. You are the protector and you are the provider. Now, in the modern age, I understand that women think they're everything that a man is, and that is laughable when it comes to the protection. I do not care how much CrossFit a woman does. If an average male decides to do something physical, she's going to get her ass kicked. There's nothing. Three women makes no difference whatsoever. I don't care how much roaring they do to the radio about I'm a strong woman. When it comes physically, a man is superior when it comes to explosives, things that are violence, if they do not care about the person that they're going against. See, a wife can be extremely violent to a man, because that happens, believe it or not, all the time. And if the man is not going to retaliate the way that he would against another guy, the woman can get the false impression that she's just as bad as the guy is. And that's going to get her in trouble somewhere else. So your job, because you got testosterone injected into you as an embryo, your muscles function faster and can contract stronger than any female out there. Sure, there's a few outliers, but the average male is way better with strength and explosives than the most elite females. That's just a fact of life. And what is protection? It's mostly going to be violent. It's going to be fast. You're going to need strength. And you need to be in the most optimal situation that you can be in, and that's the male. So protection. Now, the other one is a resource provider. Now, since the 60s, the second and third wave feminists come along, and they're trying to tell women that they can have everything that men can, and they can. It's a free country. I don't know how happy you're going to be, but you can. And that they should not accept a man being the resource provider and stuff like that, which kind of gets squirrely when you start thinking about the rearing of children. And the best children always have two parents, and those children that are probably going to be the most adaptable in the world is going to be where a parent is home most of the time, and most of the time that's going to be the female. That's an awesome responsibility. That's not a downgrade. So resource provider. That means you need to, as the guy, be the rock when it comes to causing security for your family or your wife or even your girlfriend for that matter. Because believe it or not, guys watch how guys or girls watch how guys act with females and responsibilities even when you're dating. And if you're a piece of crap to women, if you don't think they're paying attention to that, you're nuts. I've got a good friend up north that we went out to dinner one time, and he tipped on like a $40 meal like $2. And he's not had the best luck of finding the best women. I'm like, what are you doing? Why would you only pay her $2? He went through the whole thing and he paid for the meal cost this, and it's not, and I get all that. It's a weird situation. But you have a female, if you're on a date, watches you lay down a $2 tip to another female waitress. I promise you, it's going to register in that girl's head that that's probably how you're going to treat her. You want a lot for a little. And it's not going to go very good. So girls pay attention even during dating. You know, one of the biggest thing that women, through evolutionary facts, whether women want to believe it or not today, or men want to believe it or not today, the biggest on the top of the pinnacle rock for a woman is to be secure. That goes through generations and generations and generations of, if you pick the wrong guy and he's not good with money and he doesn't do what he's supposed to do with it and he's running around and he's acting like a kid all the time, that your life and your kids' lives are going to be miserable. So I think, personally, through almost genetics, women are brought to the, are unconsciously looking for security, even if they consciously say, I'm going to make my own money and I don't need a man. So guys, you want to have the best woman in a competitive field of dating that you can have, make sure that you're financially competent. It's not very sexy. It's not talking about your abs. It's not talking about how pretty you are or how smooth you talk. But just think about, if you're younger and you don't know who I'm talking about, go look up Mick Jagger, probably one of the most ugliest human beings in the world. He was financially stable. He was lead singer of the Rolling Stones. He probably got more girls than 3,000 other regular guys. Was it because he was so smooth talking or he could sing so good? No. It's because the women knew that he could supply stuff when they needed it to be supplied. Your job, as far as I can tell as a male, is to be financially like a rock. Now, that doesn't mean your rock has to be rich, or you don't have to make $300,000 a year, but it needs to be stable. And your female companion needs to know it's going to be stable. Now, I'm going to go over the money thing, then we're going to get into a few emotional things here in a minute. Your job as a male is to supply money. Now, the problem is we're taught from grade school, we're taught from our parents, we're taught from friends that you go to school, you go to college, you get a job, and then you work your way up the ladder, and you basically try not to commit suicide by the time you're 40 because you're doing the right thing, even though you hate what you're doing. And that is being a responsible human being. Now see, that's where it's kind of like an A-B or situation. If you don't want to spend more money on the schools for kids, you hate kids. So which is it? You want to spend more money or you hate kids? See, that's a false question. And the way society talks about revenue to men, it's a very set up in a dichotomy that it is very screwed up because it is a false question. But you need, as a male, to figure out how you are going to be the rock for your wife. And your kids need to see that you're the rock for your wife. You know, we all have different things we look up to. We all see things in life that mean something to us sometimes. And then there's things that we know instinctively that are the right things. You know, you don't really get a lot of Instagram posts with a lot of likes if a guy starts an Instagram post on the daily grind of starting a business. Now, if you got one that's driving a Ferrari and he's got two hot blondes with fake boobs hanging off each arm, people will pay attention to that and give you lots and lots of like. If you got the biggest house in Beverly Hills, people pay attention to you. But see, that's probably not realistic for most of us. But what you need to do is be the rock. You don't have to have the biggest rock. It don't have to be the tallest rock or the widest rock. It just needs to be the rock. I've had times in my life that I was very poor, and I've had times in my life that I've been very comfortable. And I've had times in between. But one thing has always been clear. We're going to make enough to make ends meet where we're making sure that we're not in financial desperation and trouble. That has a lot to do on your lifestyle. That has a lot to do on your intelligence when it comes to what is important and what is not. getting a brand new truck every other year, if you're making $30,000 a year, I have to question your sanity. I have to be honest with you. If you want to go buy a $700,000 or $800,000 or a $500,000 house and you're making $60,000 a year and you look at what that's going to cost per month, is that the smartest business decision that the rock that you're supposed to be should be making for your wife, even though she really wants it because her friends are going to ooh and ah over it for about 2 months? See, to me, what men today, and I think what's going to be forced on men in the future, and especially children, is the day of the job is pretty much coming to an end for a lot of people. Automation is going to screw a lot of that up for the people that don't want to think about their future. They just want to coast. So a man needs to be able to look around his environment, realize what his skill sets are, realize what his skill sets are not, make adjustments to the ones he's good at, and learn the things he's not good at, and come up with revenue streams. See, what is the purpose of going to college? It used to be, and people are still confused about this today, it used to be back in the 17 and 18 and early 1900s, rich kids went to college to network and to be a better rounded person. The experience. That's what college was. Most people that went to college back in those times was not worried about a job when they got out of school. For one, it was not near as expensive as it is today. It's not near as competitive. And it's not near as confusing for kids because everybody kind of knew that only rich people went to college because they could afford it. And they had a business to come back to, or most of them were going to open a business of their own when they got out of it. It was not a job factory the way that it is now. Because it's really not a job factory. It's just like a job holding room. But today, it's supposedly so you go get a better paying job. I'm not sure when all that changed, but if you go look back in history, it's clear that's not what it was intended for. It was more for high society to know how to act high society. But now it's for jobs, right? And you look at what most people get jobs in. You have somebody, and this is where women and men are extremely different. Men like to build things and conquer. Women like to nurture and get to know people. They're both super important, but they're very different. That's why more guys go into engineering and tech than nursing, which is a high paying job today, or what a lot of kids are getting degrees in is being a social worker that you'll make about $35,000 a year and hate life, or a teacher, depending on where you're going, you're gonna be completely, your views of what a teacher is, you'll find out very quickly, is not exactly what it's supposed to. Because I have met very few teachers that if you phrase questions where it's not, do you like your job or do you like the children? It's clear they, after a few years, they can't stand their job and they can't stand the children and the parents. I know there's exceptions, but when you really get to talk to teachers, and their guard is down and they're not in marketing mode of how good a teacher is, you can tell they're not really loving life that much except for the great big summer vacation. But that's what a majority of kids today are getting a degree in, something that's not going to pay anything, but they're going to have to pay for till they're 80 because it costs so much to get it. Are they going to get a job being a school teacher because it's the default win? Because kids today do not actually know how to grind anything out, so as soon as their preferred dream course gets a little hard, they always go into, that's why there's so many guys that are being, you know, trained to be PE teachers now, because it's the easiest thing that they think they can get into until they find out there's 10 million trying to get 3,000 jobs. See, the dad should have a good enough relationship with his son, and with an example of men build revenue streams. Now, that can be a job. I'm not saying it can't. But it can also be side hustles. It can be starting your own business. It can be an inventor, where you sell products to other businesses. It can be a consultant with the skills that you have from that job, and you go teach people, like for an example, how to turn a smaller factory into more of a lean system, or marketing or advertising, or if you're good with computers, editing videos for people, running accounts for social media for bigger companies because they don't have the time. There's all kind of ways out there to make money. See, I do a business course that you can go to, growinganewbusiness.com. And the interesting thing is, almost everybody that's taken this course has been outdoorsmen. Once we get into this course and we start finding out what people's skill sets are, or they start understanding what their skill sets are and how valuable they are, very few people, even though they start the course with the concept of being getting paid in the outdoor world somehow or another, they choose a different path. For one, in our course, we don't judge what you want to be. And it gives people freedom to actually understand what it is that they want to do instead of what everybody tells them they should do. Because that is a huge part of being a mature male. You're not a sheep. Sheep are not mature male. They're sheep. Bah! That's what they do. They follow the other. Bah! And they just go in big herds, even if it's to the slaughterhouse. And a man has got to be able to look around his environment and go, yeah, you know, sometimes the sheep have the nice green pasture. But all of a sudden, one day, there comes an order for a whole bunch of meat. And someone's going to be giving that meat up. Maybe I will forgo what seems like the green easy pasture, just follow the sheep, and go do something else that may not be is easy to start with than something else. That's part of being a man. You don't be a sheep. How do your children learn not to be a sheep, guys? From you? Because I promise you, they're getting sheep training in school. They're getting sheep training at church. They're getting sheep training at every activity you take them to. They're being trained to be good little sheep that'll just go wherever somebody else tells them they need to go. As a rock, that don't happen. You make your own decisions based off of the best things for you and your family. And I promise you, if you start looking at the world that way, it won't be the way the sheep are going. For the majority of the time. Now, you may need to follow the sheep to get a nest egg to start a business. You may need that to get a skill set to build some revenue streams. Everything has a purpose to a mature male. It's not haphazard. But you need to be secure in one of your two main jobs, and that is being able to supply resources for your family. There's a lot of sacrifice that goes into that. It's not always fun. Well, giving childbirth is not fun either. So if she can suck it up, so can you. Putting up with a guy, I guarantee you, would not be very fun. Guys don't smell good. We don't look good. We can be grumpy. We let the boy out maybe a little bit too much, and a woman's got to put up with it. Most of us are messy. So they got to put up with you. It's okay for you to sacrifice a little bit for what you need to do as a man to make sure that you're the rock for your wife. Now, for some of you, this may be getting really close to home as far as you realize your situation is in peril because you're not being the rock. Maybe you want to have too much fun like you're still in high school. And you're not being responsible with your money. Look, playing around with money, doing things that are fun are awesome. But if you can't meet the baseline, you don't go playing. It's kind of like the movie Gladiator. There's one scene in there that really stuck out with me. Russell Crowe was the gladiator, and he had a, quote, slave. When slaves were normal back then. I mean, just as normal as we go to the Walmart. That's how normal slaves were back then. And somewhere along the line, they conquered somebody, and somehow this little guy became his slave. And he asked him one time, does he enjoy doing what he's asked to do for him? And he goes, I do what I have to do, so sometimes I can do what I want to do. And that has really stuck with me. Because I can tell you, there's always new guns I would like to buy. There's always a bigger, badder hot rod that I would like to have. Or, let's get a supercharger for the Challenger. And some cams, and some custom headers, and let's do this the rear end, and. But if it's going to hurt me on the baseline of being the rock that I'm supposed to be, you don't do it. There's going to be sacrifice along the way. That's part of a guy's job. You do what you have to do to be able to do what you want to do. Now, I can tell you from a business owner, and a lot of y'all know me personally, I've spent a lot of years being really poor, but I still met the baseline because that was my job. I worked crazy amount of hours that employees cannot even grasp. I took money and moved it around and risk to build something up. So today, it looks like, from someone looking out to end, that I've just got it made. Yeah, after 20 years of sacrifice. And that sacrifice has allowed me and Cindy to do things that we could have never done if we'd have been a sheep. Because we'd have been too scared to turn loose of any money. For one, we'd have realized money is limited as an employee, and as an entrepreneur, it is something you can generate out of thin air. So it's a totally different way of looking at the world. But the sacrifices that I put in, even though a lot of them were not fun at the time, I'm so glad that I did it. Because it allows us more freedom now than I would have ever had if I would have been a sheep. Because I'd have always been struggling to keep the baseline of the income the way that it should be. So our two jobs, to be a protector and gather resources. Now, you can look up on the gathering resources. You can look that up under revenue streams and entrepreneurs and business. There's all kind of podcasts. There's books you should be reading. Guys, let me tell you a little secret about successful people. They read. Very few successful people don't read. Do you know most of the people that I talk to that they need to read that aren't being successful? They balk at the concept of reading, even though that is a very clear attribute of people that are successful. I find it fascinating and sad all at the same time. Read about being successful. Read about revenue streams. Read about being a leader. Read about being an entrepreneur. Read about starting a business. Read about marketing a business. Read about advertising. Read about the books. The bookkeeping that you're going to have to do because the government is going to make sure that you work for them regardless. Read. the more you read, I promise you, the more stable of a rock you will become. And today with technology, with podcasts and audio books, there's really no excuse. I was sitting out yesterday for about an hour and a half because I could see bait fish on the river, and I knew that there were stripers in the general area. So I went and caught some small brim and I put them out, and I did not catch a striper. But while I am waiting for one of them big old boogers to come by so I can smoke one of them, I'm listening to a podcast on generating income. The more that goes in my head, the more that comes out of my emotions, body, and mouth. The more that's inundated into me, the more I'm stable as a rock. Just think about that a little bit. You only know what you know, and the problem is, if you're not a successful person already, you don't know what it means to be successful or how to be successful. You think you do. Everybody thinks they're smarter than they are. But until you read about really what successful people have to do, how in the world do you think you're going to be able to get there? Just because you're going to have such a super duper idea? Well, who cares if you can't market it? Who cares if you can't distribute it? Who cares if you can't replicate it? People don't pay people just for ideas. Not unless they're proven. Learn what it means to be a rock. Now guys, I'm going to get into another thing that is touchy. And if you're a female listening to this, I promise you I'm not slamming females one bit with this. Guys and girls are different. And I don't just mean the genitalia. I mean we are different in a lot of different ways. The same way that little boys are different from little girls, the way that they play in roughhouse and climb trees and do all that, grown men are the same way. We're just different. And women are very different. The last part of being a rock, guys, is you need to be an emotional rock for your spouse or your girlfriend. Emotional rock. Which means you're going to have to bite your lip sometimes. Which means you're going to have to pick your battles. Which means you're going to have to get very frustrated every now and then. And you keep your mouth shut. Women and men do not handle emotions the same way. I guess it would be easier if we did, because it would be a lot less confusion in life, but we don't. A female likes to talk about problems. A guy wants to go out and fix the problems, go around the problems, bury the problems, whatever it is. That's the first thing that goes in your mind. As a guy, if your wife is wanting to talk about a problem, you let her talk about it till she falls asleep and you give her support all along the way. But you know what you don't try to do, guys? You don't try to fix it. I have learned after 28 or 29 years of marriage to the same woman that now we're comfortable enough that I can ask, are we talking about this? Or are we trying to fix this? And believe it or not, 90% of the time, she doesn't want me to fix the problem. She wants me to listen to the problem. That gives her an outlet that she desperately needs. That if you're a guy that don't understand this, you're going to cause a lot of anxiety to your wife. Shut your mouth. Listen. Nod. Give her encouragement. Show that you understand what the problem is. Even if it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to you because you're not a woman. Men and women respond to high tense situations very differently. This is where men and women are definitely going to be different. Now, the problem is so many men today act like women that it's hard to tell now really the difference until you get around somebody that understands this a little bit better. Because men have been tricked into thinking that they need to think like a woman. Which if you do that, you're going to always be frustrated because you know that's not what you are or how you think. And you'll play the game for a while. And have you ever wondered why after 15, 20 years of marriage, there is still a high divorce rate? Most of the time, the man finally gets so frustrated with the situation that he's allowed to happen the whole time that he just throws his hands up and walks off into the sunset. He's been frustrated for 15 or 20 years or 10 or 5, and it builds and it builds and it builds. Same can happen with a woman. Women and men look at stressful situations so different. A man's automatic response is fix the problem or identify the problem, come up with a plan, fix the problem, eliminate the problem, buy a new one, go kick somebody's butt, have confrontation. We can go on and on. If you're listening to this and you're a guy, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But women internalize this. And when they internalize it, it comes out in strange ways. That as a mature male, you need to understand when you start seeing this, and this is when you keep your mouth shut. When your wife or your girlfriend is extremely stressed, she's going to say things to you that she probably would never, ever say at any other time. She's trying to cope with a situation. She's going to make little bitty snippets of remarks that can be very hurtful. But as long as you understand what it is, it's not as painful, trust me. They internalize this and it builds and builds and builds. Where, you know, like two guys are really at each other, eventually they're going to be looking eyeball to eyeball. And one of them is either going to back down or one of them is going to get their butt kicked. See, that's how men handle most stressful situations with human beings over time. If it goes long enough. Women, on the other hand, don't look at it that way. They try to build coalitions to ostracize somebody out of their life. They try to, Facebook and stuff like that, they will start backstabbing and doing all kind of stuff. Luckily, my wife does not do that. But a lot of women do. And they go at people from a distance, where men go at people that are real men face to face. And when she's stressed, she's going to say things and do things and act certain ways that can really frustrate a guy. Most of the time, it's because you don't understand why she has so much anxiety about something. It doesn't matter if you understand it, it's still there. That's when she says something that could hurt your feelings or makes a snide remark about something that you're doing or not doing, that you just kind of let it go. It's not a place to have a big argument, because here's why. All of that frustration that she's feeling about whatever the situation is going to be turned loose on you. And it's going to get escalated really, really fast and furious. It's not going to help your relationship. So if she starts saying that you're not cleaning up, you're not doing this, you're not doing that, and you know she's really stressed about something else, take a little bit extra time, do a little bit of sacrifice, suck it up just a little bit to try to get in whatever that groove she's doing, disagree with her, go, you're right, I'll work on that, and go do it. She needs a friend and a rock. What she does not need is an adversary. And if you start arguing with her at this time, guess what, guys? You're now the adversary. And you're going to get treated like an adversary. Which probably means you're going to react like an adversary. And that means one of you two are going to lose whatever's going on. And no matter what that means, one of you two is going to be a loser. And that's not what a partnership is about. Partnerships both flourish or both sink. I understand this is not the most happy topic in the world. But if your wife or your girlfriend is really stressed out and has anxiety about things, it's perfectly fine to talk with them. Ask them what it is they think is going to happen. Ask them what they think the outcomes could be. And most of the time, what you're going to find out with women is that they go to the furthest extreme. I call it going under the bridge. So in their brain, whatever's going on in their life, it's going to escalate at such a pace, which it never does. And it's going to end up where they're homeless and broke, living under a bridge with no one that knows where they are. No one cares about them. Under the bridge. But when you talk these things out about what they're actually thinking instead of you trying to fix it, most of the time they realize they're not really going to be under a bridge. And it's probably not as serious as they originally thought it was. Because we're all great fiction writers when it comes to our imagination. That's why when someone has financial trouble, they automatically are freaking out because they think they're going to be under a bridge, homeless, sick and dying alone. And they can do this in their head in about 4.2 seconds. And to them, it's extremely real. You need to be able to talk these things out. Guys, this is why you need a wolf pack. The wolf pack is only as strong as the wolf. And the wolf is only as strong as a wolf pack. I've got one. I'm part of one. We talk about different things. And amazingly enough, because I have chosen people to be associated with in my wolf pack, that if I start going under the bridge, guys do it in a very different way, but they show me and talk me into a better mindset. And you would be surprised if you actually talk to your wife about some of the things that maybe has you very anxious or upset, or where you're going under the bridge, that she'll probably get you to understand that there's not really a bridge and it's a fiction book that you've written in your head. But regardless of which one of y'all are going through stressful times, and it's worse if you both are, because you're looking to lash out, and you always lash out at what you're most comfortable with. And you can say that I couldn't help it, and guys, I'm not going to say this to girls. I'm going to say this to you. If you say that you cannot not raise your voice at somebody when y'all are having a conversation and you can't help it, that's just the way you are, you're full of shit. Because if your preacher, your dad, your mom, or a policeman were standing there, you wouldn't say that. So if you could control yourself in that situation, you can control yourself with your wife. That's a child that can't control herself. Both of you need to be a rock. But see, you can't make her be your rock. The only thing you got control of is you. That does not mean that you let her abuse, run over, or anything when it comes to being you, because that's causing one partner to be a loser over the other, and that's not a partnership. That's abuse. Real men do not accept abuse, and real men do not give out abuse. Learn how to talk without arguing. And the last little bit of tidbit about being a rock is learn to pick your battles, guys. Everybody says things that aren't exactly true, even though they think they are. Guys think in terms very differently than girls do. Girls think in a more emotional type way. Guys think in more of a mechanical type way. Like, for an example, say you're going down a mountain and you're not driving and your wife is and she's riding the brakes. Well, to her, the brakes stop the car. And if it's a big old mountain, if it's a good car, the brakes will let her do whatever she wants to do. Now, a guy on the other side starts getting antsy because he's not thinking of it of that's what the brakes are for. He's looking at it in the terms of physics. You keep riding the brakes, you're going to get heat up. If you're going to heat them up too much, they're going to quit working because when metal starts melting, it does not do what you intended it to do. Two totally different mindsets going on. It's just how we think. Be smart when you're having conversations like that. And don't do it and if you're going to talk to them about physics and brakes, don't do it in a degrading way. Or you're asking for trouble. People that degrade women end up in the morning, like the poor guy did, even though he probably deserved it, with his genitals super glued to his leg. Or cut off. Or single. Or just plain miserable. See, the issue that we have with not being a rock a lot of times is when you're very comfortable with somebody, it's easier. You have more history with them, so it makes it more easier to lash out. This is where in the back of every man's head when they're having these conversations, is this a battle worth fighting? Because 99.9% of the arguments that people get that are married and dating are not going to even matter in 10 minutes. But it can destroy a relationship once the words are said. It's called being a grown-up when you're talking to somebody else. Now see, a kid that has no impulse control, he's going to lash out in any way possible. Because he's a kid. He don't have impulse control. Now, I know a lot of guys don't have a lot of impulse control because they've never actually trained that. You need to train it. You need to think about it. Keep in the back of your mind, we are partners. Partners do not try to cause the other one to be a loser. See, that's competitive. If you're competitive with your partner, it's going to screw you up. I've got a good friend that also makes lures. Most of y'all know who he is. We talk about stuff all the time, and we talk about lures and baits and the business and the industry and all the time. Do you know how we have such a good relationship? We are not competitive. If my friend comes up with the blockbuster lure, which he has a couple of years ago, that he's made a tremendous amount of money because he sells a tremendous amount of it, I don't get jealous of him or try to replicate that. I am so happy that he did that. And he knows this. And I can talk to him openly about concepts that I have. And I don't have to worry about him trying to go out and make them and get them on the market before I do. And if I sell more than him on certain things, there's no jealousy, there's no competition whatsoever. This is a guy. He's not a partner like me and my wife. Now, if I can have a relationship like that with just a friend, I should be able to do that with my wife. I don't want to be competitive with her. Partners can do amazing things because they can grow together, be stronger together. If you're competing about which one is smarter and which one is better and which one is stronger and whatever it is that you're doing, you're not going to get the potential that you're supposed to get. Which is why most marriages don't last very long, is because most people don't get married understanding that they're actually partners. Girls will want security, guys think they're going to get to have sex every night, and it don't work out that way, and it starts building resentment, and the partnership has not been part of it this whole time, and it gets squirrely. Learn to be the emotional rock for your wife. And the last thing I'm going to say about this, this means that you don't panic. Men that panic are not an emotional rock for their wife. If you lose your job and you panic, you're causing way more distress on her than you are anything else in your life. You need to be an emotional rock. If somebody kicks in your door, your wife should not even have to think about it. My man has got this. If your wife doesn't think that about you, you got some work to do. When the bills come up every 30 days, and your wife doesn't automatically think, my man's got this, you got some work to do. If you're in a movie theater and it catches on fire, or God help, that some crazy psychopath that's on psychotropic drugs and thinks he's Batman walks in a movie theater with an AR-15, she needs to automatically think, my man has got this. If you're in a car wreck and everybody's scared and upset, your wife needs to know that you got this. You're going to get help. You're going to make sure everybody's okay. You're going to make sure that you're going to do the absolute best you can with first aid. You're going to stay calm. You're going to keep them from absolute panicking and freaking out. Because if you do that, you're a problem. You're not a solution. People that freak out are not solutions. Man does not freak out. If a death in the family happens, you need to be the one that she knows she can put her head on your shoulder and you're going to be her emotional rock. That's three ways, guys, we can work on being better men. A protector, a resource gatherer, and an emotional rock. And if you do this, you will not believe the relationship that you will have with your spouse. Your sex will be better. Your dinners will be better. She will want you to go have fun instead of beating you up about it all the time. She will want you to have toys instead of always talking about the money. She knows she can depend on you. And if your wife right now doesn't know that she can depend on you, you got work to do. You can do it. Partnership, not competitive. Emotional rock, protecting rock, and a resource rock. And you will have a much better life if you can do this, which you can, then probably you've ever had in your life. Because your wife will do things for and with you because she knows she can trust you and that you are that rock. That's what you should be striving for. So think about this throughout the week. Think about how you're having talking with people. Are you being a kid with your money? Are you actually being the rock of your finances? Regardless, if your wife has a job where she makes more money than you, you still need to be dependable. And she needs to know that you will sacrifice yourself for her, and if you have kids, for the kids, on a nanosecond, because that's what you know your job is. if you do this and you work on these, you will be blown away at how good your life can be. Because it's functional at this point. And it's wholesome at this point. And it's amazing at this point. Once you become the rock that you're supposed to be.